Welcome back to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington, and I'm joined by Rick Lubbers of the Duluth News Tribune. Hello, Rick.
Hi, Robin.
And I bet you're going to have a few more election items for your news roundup.
Definitely. Quite a few. We'll start with Gordon Ramsay being elected St. Louis County Sheriff. He left his hometown nearly 7 years ago to pursue a new career challenge in an unfamiliar state. But on Tuesday, the former Duluth police chief received a warm welcome home from St. Louis County voters, who elected him as their first new sheriff in two decades. Ramsay defeated Undersheriff Jason Lukowski by a margin of nearly 50% to 40%, according to unofficial results Wednesday from the Minnesota Secretary of State. Another 10% went to write-in candidates, presumably for part-time Moose Lake police officer and local gun shop owner Chad Walsh, who maintained an active campaign after losing the August primary. Ramsay will succeed Ross Littman, who was first elected in 2002 and never faced a challenger in any of his four re-election bids. Ramsay said that it is heartwarming. I'm very appreciative that the people have believed in me and given me their vote. 38,000 miles I've put on my truck campaigning in St. Louis County, and it has been very rewarding. Now, while he faced an internal candidate who enjoyed the support of the outgoing sheriff and the deputies union, Ramsay said he has no qualms about stepping into leadership of an agency in which he has never served. Lukowski and Ramsay, both 50 years old and Duluth natives, each campaigned on their extensive law enforcement experience in the Northland as they sought the approval of voters as the best candidate to address issues including community relations, staffing shortages, drug and mental health response, and collaborative crime fighting across the county that includes more than a dozen independent police departments. Ramsay, an East High School graduate, worked his way up the ranks of the hometown police department and spent nearly a decade as a highly visible police chief. He implemented one of the nation's first body camera initiatives, paired social workers with officers, oversaw the move to a new headquarters, and helped create the Citizen Review Board. But then he left in 2016 to take the reins of the Wichita Police Department, overseeing an agency roughly four times the size of Duluth. He touted his efforts to diversify the force and reduce rates of robberies and burglaries to levels not seen in several decades before stepping down earlier this year to return to Duluth to be closer to family. The St. Louis County Sheriff's Office has a $36 million budget for 2022, includes roughly 280 employees who work in administration, patrol investigations, civil warrants, and court security divisions.
All right. Well, Duluth had a measure for all of its citizens to decide concerning its parklands.
Yes, and city leaders are considering new strategies to fund local trails and recreational amenities after that measure failed on election night. Voters narrowly rejected a plan to boost local property taxes. The measure fell 203 votes short of passage, or a margin of just 0.56%. Duluth already has a dedicated property tax that raises $2.6 million annually to support city parks and trails, but Mayor Emily Larson announced in August her hope to change that fixed revenue stream into one that grows with increasing value of a local property base, putting the proposal to a public referendum vote in November. At-large City Councilor Noah Hobbs said supporters of the idea were hard-pressed to make the case for a tax change so swiftly. Hobbs said he believes the referendum could well have passed with the benefit of a few more weeks of additional time to educate voters, especially in light of the complicated nature of the question put to the public on Tuesday. Larson said the cumbersome nature of the language on the ballot made the level of support the referendum received that much more remarkable. Despite the referendum's recent defeat, Larson said it could be reintroduced in some form in the future. She pointed to an example of a referendum to allow sales of liquor in Duluth Lakeside neighborhood that passed only with the benefit of repeat votes.
All right. And one of the areas, and actually Minnesota's longest serving legislators, had an uncertain electoral result Tuesday night.
Yes, just 35 votes helped Natalie Zlesnikar, a Republican from Duluth, edge Representative Mary Murphy, the longest serving female legislator in Minnesota, in the House District 3B race, according to unofficial results Wednesday morning. Murphy of Hermantown has held the seat for the DFL since 1976. Zlesnikar received 10,812 votes, while Murphy had 10,777, according to the Minnesota Secretary of State's office. which says that the race falls within the parameters of a publicly funded recount. District 3B includes Two Harbors and other unorganized territories in Lake County. Also includes Proctor, Rice Lake, Hermantown, and several townships in St. Louis County.
Well, we'll see if it indeed gets to a recount and what the result will be. Finally, the Twin Ports music scene lost one of their own before her time, I would say. Mimi Parker of the band Lowell died last week.
Yes, the music world is certainly mourning the loss of Parker. She died Saturday at the age of 55 due to ovarian cancer. On Sunday night at Sacred Heart Music Center, about 200 people attended a candlelight vigil for Parker while the music of Lowell played in the background. Parker's husband and bandmate, Alan Sparhawk, wrote on Twitter, "You really lifted us up tonight, Duluth. Your love is perfect and overwhelming. Spread it. Thank you." As friends, peers, and fans reflected on Parker's life and legacy, tributes poured in. And in a remarkable sign of how Parker's impact has been felt, Robert Plant paid tribute by covering two Lowell songs Sunday night in Scotland. At a concert in Glasgow, Plant and his band Saving Grace performed Monkey and Everybody's Song. Of course, Plant is best known as the frontman for Led Zeppelin. He said on stage that we've been drawn to the music of the great duo Lowell from Duluth, Minnesota. Noting Parker's death, Plant continued, "They've been such an inspiration to me for a long time." Parker contributed drums, vocals, and songwriting to Lowell, which he co-founded in Duluth in 1993 with bandmates Sparhawk and John Nichols. Now, while the bassist role has changed over the band's three-decade history, spouses Parker and Sparhawk remained the core of the internationally known group. They raised two children in Duluth, even as they recorded extensively and toured internationally. The band's final performance was in Duluth on September 4 at Bayfront Festival Park during the Water is Life Festival.
And she will indeed be missed. We've been joined by Rick Lubbers, executive editor of the Duluth News Tribune. You can stay updated on these stories and all the regional news anytime at WPR.org and DuluthNewsTribune.com. And before you go, Rick, what happened in Superior 105 years ago this week?
I'm going to guess the Spanish flu epidemic.
That actually was around at that time, but outlasting that and most anyone else who was around back then is Isabel Tucson, who was born in Superior 105 years ago on Wednesday and still lives in the city after some travels during the World War II years. We caught up with her for her 102nd birthday in 2019. Here's a snippet from our visit with her then. Tell me about growing up in Superior.
It was a nice, safe place to grow up in. And at that time, we had quite a few Jewish families here so that we didn't have to go to Duluth, you know, for all our friends. We had three synagogues here at one time. We had a lot of stores on Tower Avenue, and you could hardly walk Tower Avenue on Thursday nights. It was so crowded. And there used to be a popcorn stand and candy store that was open, and it was delicious just the smells to go by it. And Thursday night, that's when everybody came out. You couldn't find a parking spot on Tower Avenue. And the stores were open till 9.
Any particular?
A lot of restaurants. Every block had a restaurant. So you could stop at every block and you could get a cup of tea, a cup of coffee, anything you wanted. And we had a lot of dress shops. We had a lot of men's stores. Men's stores, not in department stores, but single stores.
It's a little bit different than it is now.
Very different.
Was this during Prohibition?
Oh, yeah.
Didn't you guys deliver for the Moonshiners?
Not me.
No. Who did?
No, that was my cousin and her dad. The kids walked down the streets like they were carrying pop. Everybody knew they were doing that. It was very wide open, I guess. My dad never did anything like that. He had a grocery store on Main Street. Mm-hmm. And he looked down on that. Boy, he thought it was terrible.
You know, I always wondered, what did you do on Passover?
We used to have all our Passover dinners at my Zadie and Bubby's. And then all of us would sit around the big table. And my aunts were in the high school at that time, and I was eighth grade. And we'd put Love Story magazines in our lap and look down like we were being very pious.
But what I meant was the Passover service, you're supposed to have wine. So what did you do during the prohibition? Did you have wine?
We all had wine. They made their own. My mother always made her own wine. And I didn't know anybody who didn't.
So going to high school.
In high school, what was interesting, Jewish kids could not join no sororities or fraternities. They never allowed us in there.
For college or for high school?
High school.
So there were sororities and fraternity.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, but not for you.
I could join the clubs like the swimming clubs or the school clubs. But I couldn't go into the school sororities or anything because Jewish kids weren't allowed. And that was in public school.
Right. So, but is that where you knew Richard Bong?
Richard Bong was in a study hall with me. But I never was in a class with him. And he was very, very quiet. So quiet you wouldn't know he was there. And we talked because I always talked. but you wouldn't know he could have been on the farm yet because he never talked in school. He was real quiet. Yeah, nice guy though.
And John Blatnick? Now that was a bit later, or?
Oh, Blatnick was my father-in-law is the one that talked him to go into politics. And my father-in-law is the one that helped him win the range. Which I think is interesting, because he was a school teacher. And my father-in-law said he would make a good legislator. And then he offered my husband a job in Washington when he became one. But my father-in-law wouldn't allow my husband to take any kind of government job or any jobs like that. He always said, you could help people out, but that doesn't mean they have to pay you for it.
After high school, you went to college where?
I went to Marquette University in Milwaukee. And then when I got through, my dad said my education wasn't complete, so then I went to business school.
But first you went, it was dental hygiene, correct?
First I went for dental hygiene. And like I said, after when I graduated, my dad said my education wasn't complete, so I went to business school and graduated from that, too.
But the other problem, as I understand, was there weren't a whole bunch of people clamoring to hire you as a dental hygienist.
Dental hygienist? You know, most of your dentists were afraid at that time to hire a dental hygienist, they were afraid you're going to take their business away from them. Rather than adding to their business, they were afraid you were going to take it away from them. It was terrible. It really was. I couldn't get a job in Duluth or Superior, but I got a job in Ashland from a far-seeing dentist who was ahead of his time.
So what were some of the high points after you came back to Superior?
There wasn't many high points.
I know people ask you this all the time, I'm sure. To what do you attribute your health and your well-being?
Keeping busy. To me, I think that's the biggest secret of everything is keeping busy and get kind of nosy, know what's going on in the world. And as long as you keep your mind going, you're all right. I think that's the whole secret of staying busy.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. It was fun that I just talking to you.
And those were memories by Isabel Tucson of Superior, shared with us on her 102nd birthday 3 years ago. Time flies. This year, she received all sorts of well wishes, greetings, and cards for her 105th birthday that she celebrated on Wednesday right here in her hometown of Superior. Happy birthday, Isabel. And that's it for this edition of Simply Superior. We leave you with the music of Low and the voice of Mimi Parker. I'm Robin Washington. Stay safe, everyone.
Shame.